This is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, we now bring you a discussion on ASEAN India Summit. The participants are Skand Ranjan Tayal, former diplomat, and Mahendra Ved, journalist.
The coming Republic Day is very important for India and the ASEAN region. Prime Minister Modi has just announced today that India will host the India-ASEAN Special Commemorative Summit on January 25th. And next day, we hope as many as possible of the 10 heads of governments of ASEAN nations, that is Association of Southeast Asian Nations, will be chief guests at the Republic Day parade celebrations. Mr. Tayal, a lot has happened at Manila, where the ASEAN summit took place, 31st summit, and a lot of bilateral meetings have taken place. In fact, Manila has been bubbling, thriving. It's a lot of activity where India has a stake. What is India's stake in ASEAN and how does ASEAN look at India?
ASEAN has a very important role in India's look east policy, which after Prime Minister Modi's coming has become more active and now it is act east policy. ASEAN was established in 1967. So this is now the 50th anniversary of the establishment of ASEAN, and a permanent dialogue was started with India 25 years ago in 1992. So this is a special significance of Manila meeting, that 25 years have elapsed with a very formal structured partnership between India and ASEAN. Prime Minister Modi also participated in a summit meeting with ASEAN today, where he brought out very, very important points. And Prime Minister Modi said that there is a 50-year vision of ASEAN, and that vision has now been realized. And India and ASEAN have been working together. We have a program of action, which many elements of that are being implemented. And mostly India-ASEAN cooperation in the last 25 years has been on political issues, security issues, economic issues, and cultural issues. India has very ancient trade links, cultural links, civilizational links with the countries of Southeast Asia. If you go to Myanmar, you go to Cambodia, Angkor Wat, you go to Bali, you see so much of Indian influence there, Hindu temples, Buddhist temples. And now in trade and investment also, ASEAN is very important for us. More than $70 billion trade is there between India and ASEAN member countries. There is very major investments. 17% of our foreign direct investment comes from ASEAN countries, which has been almost $70 billion in the last 17 years. And Indian investment in ASEAN countries has been $40 billion. So there is a whole range of issues on which India and ASEAN are together.
Prime Minister has very rightly said that India's Act East policy, ASEAN is the heart of it. Because look east or Act East is much larger. You take in the whole East, including Australia and New Zealand. But ASEAN has a very special place.
If we look at the map, immediately after India is Myanmar. Myanmar is a member of ASEAN. If we look at East Asia, at its heart is the ASEAN, 10 members of ASEAN. Then of course there are other countries which are important. China is important, Japan is important, Republic of Korea is important. Australia and New Zealand are also important. And in different ways, from security point of view, defense point of view, America and Russia are also important. And if we see how this area is changing, it is important to note that rise of China has been something which many countries of the region are a little worried, that the Chinese economic progress, military progress should not be at the expense of other countries. And the other factor which Prime Minister Modi had pointed out very specifically in his remarks today at the ASEAN-India summit is the twin danger of terrorism and extremism. And he declared that we will meet all these challenges together. Yesterday when the Philippines President Duterte inaugurated the ASEAN summit, he started that the biggest danger to ASEAN and the region is from terrorism and fundamentalism and danger of radicalization. And India said that in dealing with all these problems, Prime Minister Modi said India stands with ASEAN.
Well, this whole trend of dialogue is that no single country should be allowed to dominate the whole of Asian region. And there's a lot of meeting together. And as you mentioned, this idea of having to be a counterpoint to China. Now, what focus can India's foreign policy take in this? Because there is a meeting that you say, in India was not as expressive as Australia, you know, the quadrilateral. The Australia or US were looking at it one way. India and Japan were looking at it a different way. Because we are direct neighbors, China and Japan, India and China. So there has been a little change in the emphasis.
India's foreign policy is now multi-directional. We are very good friends with the United States, we are very good friends with Russia, we are very good friends with Japan, Australia, New Zealand, all the ASEAN member countries. People of India, everybody wants to have very good relations with China also. But unfortunately, the response of China on some issues of core concern to India has not been very positive. And it is a challenge for our foreign policy. But it is very clear that by the meetings like quadrilateral, which happened yesterday, at official level, officials of India, United States, Japan, and Australia met. And these four are major democracies. And the officials, the different statements were made from different capitals. But it is clear that the common issues were that there should be security, there should be freedom of the sea lines of communication, and also overflights and against terrorism, etc. So that brings all the countries together. And it is expected and it is the hope of the international community, particularly all the countries of East Asia, that China understands the concerns of other countries and does not act in a manner which can raise the fears and apprehensions of its neighbors.
I think somewhat realization comes even from the Chinese side in the sense that China and ASEAN nations are about to start dialogue on what kind of code of conduct on the South China Sea.
You are very right. China has taken these concerns on board. And yesterday there was a meeting between President Xi Jinping and the Vietnamese authorities, and they said that they will try to resolve their issues, particularly of the South China Sea, where there are a lot of artificial islands are being built by China. And it has been a long-standing desire of the ASEAN member countries to have a code of conduct in South China, that how different countries should act, should behave. And China has now agreed to work on that code of conduct. And that is a very positive sign, because whole of East Asia can progress very well if all the countries stand together and work together. The area remains peaceful, remains stable. And in keeping that peace, tranquility, stability, now questions are being raised only against China. It is no other country which is trying to disturb the status quo. So there is a lot of responsibility on China.
True. Even ASEAN has its own problem, and some of it impinges on our region, that is South Asia. And one of them was Rohingyas. Now, Myanmar is a member of ASEAN, and the ASEAN summit did not make a mention of Rakhine Valley and Rohingyas. We are talking of a large number of refugees who have come over to South Asia. And this subject, because there is a certain solidarity in ASEAN region. At the same time, you see that the larger issue of terrorism, and that has really worried both South Asia and Southeast Asia, and ASEAN has been talking of this. And even the bilateral meetings that Mr. Modi had with Mr. Trump, with informal discussion with the Chinese Prime Minister, and all those people whom he met, terrorism was at the heart of the discussion.
ASEAN, the way it functions is that they do not discuss any internal issues of any member country. So, Rohingya issue would not have been discussed formally at all.
The final draft is supposed to be without a mention of Rohingya at all.
So, that's how they circumvent these issues. But even on South China Sea issue, sometimes they have not been able to come to a consensus. Yes. We are yet to see their draft, what has been agreed to this year. But there are some countries like Cambodia and Laos, they take a very pro-China stand. And they do not allow other aggrieved countries like Vietnam, Malaysia, to have a strong words against China.
They are directly involved in this.
They are directly involved, and if we look at the map, the so-called 9-dash line of China, which claims the whole of South China Sea, comes very, very close to the coasts of these countries. So these are the way they function. Terrorism is very important, and there was a whole city in Philippines which had been taken over by ISIS, and after great difficulty, after months of effort, the Filipino army has been able to regain control over that city. Indonesia also has facing problem of radicalization. All the countries are very conscious. Ultimately, radicalization leads to terrorism. So the source of the issue is radicalization. And in that, India has offered to host an international conference on countering radicalization, and which will perhaps be later this year or early next year, which will be a concrete contribution in trying to deal with this challenge.
Yes, because India has been time and again talking of this issue because it affects us directly. And United States, Mr. Dutt, meeting with the Trump, if we can take a talk of the meetings taking place on the sidelines. And there has been a lot of discussion and a lot of important topics came up between Mr. Trump and Mr. Modi. Defense cooperation was one of them. And both agreed that the two great democracies should have two great militaries.
That is true. Now, in the new Afghanistan-Pakistan policy of President Trump administration, there is greater understanding of India's concerns. And very clearly they have told Pakistan that all the terrorist groups operating from their country, they must make them stop and stop their activities. Otherwise, more action will be taken against Pakistan itself. So that is what we have been wanting, that Pakistan should take action against all the terrorist groups, including those like Jaish-e-Mohammed and Lashkar-e-Taiba, which operate against India. Now, President Trump and his administration have endorsed that line of approach. We have to see whether practically it has important effect. So there is a meeting of minds. There is, if we really see, even President Trump wants better relations with Russia, for instance. We also, of course, are very good friends with Russia, and we would very much like that there is greater understanding between United States and Russia. And terrorism, rise of China, these are very common issues which are of concern to United States as well as India. And both are big democracies, so there is very natural that President Trump and Prime Minister Modi had a very successful meeting yesterday.
An interesting point about the concern about North Korea. I mean, this whole region, East Asia, includes North Korea, and that is the confrontation that is being developed. And Mr. Modi meeting Mr. Trump, he made a mention of nuclear proliferation leakages. And that is where he is reported to have brought in the factor of China and Pakistan passing on nuclear technology to North Korea, as a result of which today North Korea is able to flex its muscles.
We have been saying the end result is of nuclear bombs with North Korea, but how did that country reach at this point? And it is very clear that there has been clandestine exchange of technology between North Korea and Pakistan, and also between North Korea and China. So the world also has to focus on those countries which have been complicit in underground way trying to help North Korea in acquiring this missile technology, this nuclear technology, which threatens our friends like Japan, United States and South Korea.
Would you say that the expression of Indo-Pacific sort of puts India at the heart of this whole region?
It certainly has required more acceptance and legitimacy. It was used by Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State, but now President Trump in every statement has not used the term Asia-Pacific. He has used the term Indo-Pacific. That means the security of Indian Ocean and Pacific is inextricably linked.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on ASEAN-India Summit. The participants were Skand Ranjan Tayal, former diplomat, and Mahendra Ved, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.